2 Chronicles chapter 26 this evening, and Lord willing, we're going to look at two kings, King Uzziah and King Jotham. Chapters 26 and 27 of 2 Chronicles, King Uzziah and King Jotham. What's fascinating, this is father and a son, and they prove to be quite a comparison. There's a contrast that takes place between these two kings. As you're turning there, perhaps you have had times in your life where you've been doing something for a long time and you've become good at it. And it's something that you know how to do, you know how to do it well, and then you become careless because I know how to do this. And in your confidence, you fail. You fall. In your strength, you will find you're weak. These two kings provide a contrast for us of what happens when a man finds himself strong and glories in it. And a man who finds himself strong, but he is strong because he's established his ways before the Lord. Is it wrong to be strong? Absolutely not. You think of David's valiant men, right? Those mighty men. I mean, the scriptures make a point of telling us the different exploits of these valiant men. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like a movie played out, the things they do. Strong and mighty men. Of course, Samson comes to mind, right? Samson was strong and a mighty man and able to do incredible feats for God. God gave him that strength. God placed him in that place at that time to deliver his people. So it's not wrong to be strong. But in our strength, the Bible warns us. The Bible provides for us a warning that watch out, for when you are strong, it's easy to fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Notice it says, "Let him that thinks he stands." So in other words, he that is in a position where he thinks he is firm, where he stands, he needs to take heed, lest he fall. I find it interesting of what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as we contemplate the various qualities of a bishop, pastor, bishop, or elder. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, Paul's giving Timothy the qualifications of a man who is to be a bishop, one who is overseer of the church. And so in verse 6, we read he's not to be a novice. Somebody's new at this, as far as new in his faith, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation. Moreover, verse 7, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. This is frankly something that causes great fear in me. And I believe it's good. It's a healthy fear. I don't want to fall. And I don't think there's anybody in here that really looks forward to falling. And yet we know that pride and a haughty spirit is one of those most deceptive tools of the devil, that before we know it, it's there. And sometimes we don't realize it until we suffer a defeat. I know the kindness and patience of God as at times when I have experienced that defeat or that fall, and I've realized that He has been gracious to me and limiting the consequences of that, but nevertheless, I've had to go to people and confess offense or sin, and so often it's with my own children or my wife. Perhaps you have found yourself there. I believe I'm not alone in this. So with that being the introduction, we're looking at Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and we read verse 1, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and he made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers." 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, one of the things that as I go through and read is I am looking for the narrative insights that inform me as to the teachings of the Spirit. In other words, what is it that the Spirit wants to teach the reader here? More than just giving a history lesson, this happened and then this happened, this king ruled and this king ruled, this is the father and this is the son, this is how old they are. More than that is the lessons that God wants to teach the reader, hence God wants to teach us today. And so what we find here is this estimation of Uzziah is that verse 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Now, this is not said of very many kings. And so for us to see this said of Uzziah, this is special. This is special. The Holy Spirit, of course, inspires this writing. And so we know that this is just not some man's opinion of Uzziah, but the Spirit saying, yes, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 5 helps build on this, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, if you read between the lines, what are you seeing here? You are seeing that once again, a man who is a godly counselor in his life and heeds the godly counsel will find success and will find prospering in his life. We don't know anything more about this man, Zechariah. Perhaps he's the same man mentioned in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 2, but nevertheless, there's not much we know about him. This is not the prophet who writes the book Zechariah in the Old Testament. He is much later. But nevertheless, Zechariah is a man who provided godly counsel to this king. And so therefore, we see that as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, This makes sense to us, right? In fact, we could take a step back and we can say, well, man, who am I seeking? Am I seeking the Lord? Because we want to prosper, don't we? We want to have success. We want our lives to go well. This king wanted the kingdom to prosper, wanted Judah to be strong and mighty. So as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The following verses tell us about the incredible victories he had over the Philistines and over the Ammonites. Verse 8 tells us the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. His name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Again, all of these phrases and things are there for our admonition. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've talked about that a couple months ago in this study. The value of these insights are for our admonition and for our example. And you're finding this man's fame is spreading abroad, even down to Egypt. In other words, he's getting a name for himself. There's a reputation that's out there about King Uzziah. Now again, having a good reputation and having a reputation that is far and wide, is this wrong? No. Just like it's not wrong to be strong, it's not wrong to be known. But notice the recipe of what we're talking about. What's coming together here? Strength, a name, renown. We do well to pay attention. And again, what is it that God's teaching his people? Uzziah, verse 9, built towers at Jerusalem at the corner gate, the valley gate, the turning of the wall. He fortified them. He built towers in the desert. He dug many wells. He had much cattle, both the low country and in the plains. He had husbandmen, that's basically farmers or vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel or in the fruitful fields, or some translations say, for he loved husbandry. All right, so those of you who are farmers and vine growers, this is your king right here. So he loved these things. He had a mighty army, verses 11 down through 15 tell us about his military power. 307,500 mighty warriors. Verse 15 is interesting if for those of you that are into battle and battlements and machines of war. Look at verse 15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. I think that's pretty cool for a young... I mean, I know my boys like to play with Legos and they have those little army guys. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever play with those? Or is that before your time? No. That wouldn't make sense. Yeah. No, but like, just let your imagination run with this as he devised these things, had guys who put these things like catapults. Many believe he's talking about catapults here on the walls of Jerusalem. I mean, what did he devise? We don't know exactly what they looked like, but we know that catapults were a part of battles for a long, long time. How about the engine that would shoot arrows, plural? And, what did that look like? Let your imagination run, boys, and draw that one up for your dad. Look at the end of verse 15. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. All right? You know, so often we can just read over these phrases, but dear church, don't just read over this. he was marvelously helped. Don't just push that phrase aside. By whom? I believe by the way it's phrased here, there's an inference that it's the Lord who's helping him. We've already know that Zechariah has provided godly counsel, marvelously helped, till he was strong. So again, he's strong and he's famous. He's strong and he's famous. Although it doesn't necessarily highlight it here, he's probably pretty rich too. And what is it? The lives of the rich and famous, a phrase that we hear today. Who is in the news? Who gets the attention? The rich, the famous, the strong. Which athletes make the headlines? It's the strong ones. It's the strong and famous. So verse 16 says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. Did you read ahead? His pride destroyed him. He was famous and he was strong. He was marvelously helped. He had the godly counsel of Zechariah. But somewhere along the line, it seems as if Zechariah died because of the way that it's phrased earlier, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Either that or he stopped listening to that godly counsel. And now the Bible tells us God gives this critique, this word. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. How did he do that? What did he do? This is a very interesting step of pride that he took. What he did was he walked boldly into the temple and he had incense that he was going to burn at the altar of incense. Now, you might say, big deal. He's a king. He can do this, but not according to God. Because God said that's the priest's role, not the king. That's the role of the priest. But for the king Uzziah to walk in, hey, he's strong and he's famous. Surely he can do this. What is he doing? He is asserting his will against the will of God. Now, I don't have to tell you who wins that battle, right? When you stand up against God, your will against him, your way against his way, you will lose. You will fall. You will suffer destruction. And so what we find is the priests, they withstand him. Look at it. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests. Wait, 80 is 20 times 4. 80, that's 80. Yes, I had to do the math quickly. 80 priests, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king. All right, so there's a standoff at the temple between 80 priests and the king. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God, from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, angry, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even arose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. You see, he realized the error of his ways, but it was too late. He was a leper. You see, he was strong. He was famous. He was well known. That's how he went into the temple. The temple, that's the place where you go to worship God. This encounter left him a leper. So he went in strong and famous. He went out weak and alone. He was famous for his incredible exploits, and now he's famous for being the king who's a leper. It goes on, verse 21, the Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and he dwelt in a several house, a free house, a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. He went in proud. He went in proud. He left humbled. That was not his plan. His plan was to exert his strength before the Lord. But instead, God exerted his strength upon him. He was a leper until the day he died. Of course, you know that leprosy was something that you didn't want to be around, and so therefore his son began to rule in his place until the day he died. According to my calculations, Uzziah began to rule at the age of 16 with his father Amaziah. At the age of 40, he became the sole king of Judah. He became a leper about 17 years later, at the age of 57. And he died about 11 years later, at the age of 68. He lived a leper 11 years. So, how tragic is right? When we're strong and successful, we are blinded to our own foolishness. We choose to go our own way and rebel against established protocols. This was absolutely a known thing. You don't go in the temple unless you're the priest. I mean, what is he thinking? The power of pride must not be overlooked, church. Must not be overlooked. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Jotham, his son, began reigning at the age of 25. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. 5 of them on his own, the rest of them co-regent with his father. Verse 2 of chapter 27, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Sounds just like his dad. According to all that his father Uzziah did, howbeit he, isn't this interesting? Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. It's as if God wants us to say, listen, he didn't do what his father did. He walked rightly before the Lord as his father Uzziah did. But Uzziah, when he was strong, he went before the Lord into the temple. Jotham did not do that, but the people yet remained corrupt. Verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. In the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites. He prevailed against them. The children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him, both the second year and the third. I mean, this man is successful. He is strong. And so Jotham became mighty, verse 6, because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Another way, another translation would be he established his ways before the Lord his God. Now, do you see the difference? Jotham was successful. He was strong. He was known. Uzziah was successful. He was strong and he was known. What was the difference? What was the difference? Jotham established his ways before the Lord his God. You know what that does? That says, God, you know what is best. I trust my life and my decisions into your hands. That's not said of Uzziah. And so the contrast, he became a leper and died a leper. Jotham became mighty. And it says that the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars and his ways, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years. In Jerusalem. And Jotham slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. Jotham had a testimony that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Notice the scriptures, how they speak of these two kings. Now, your life and mine. Which king matches the most to your life? Which king is living the kind of life that you're living? Or shall I say it the other way? You're living and you're becoming strong. You're becoming famous. And I realize that here we are in Little Rural Grove. Is there anybody strong? Is there anybody famous? You know, it doesn't take much, does it, for pride to arrest our hearts and for a fall to happen. It can happen just in your own home. It can happen in your marriage. So, dear church, heed the warning. The example we see here before us, these two kings, the contrast, it's readily seen. Establish your ways before the Lord your God. If you become strong, remember he's the one that's brought you that strength. Keep on establishing your ways before the Lord. Don't give up on that. If you are famous and well known, keep on establishing your ways before the Lord your God. Listen, God can use strong people. He does. He will. He needs strong men and women to go out into this world and make an impact for His name, for His glory. He wants the name to be known because a man who establishes his ways before the Lord, he's famous not because of himself, but because of the work that God is doing in and through him. Oh, may we be faithful to continually just divert the praise and the glory unto the Lord our God. Don't play around with this. This is risky business when we avoid paying attention to this admonition. establish your ways before the Lord. Well, God, I appreciate this reminder tonight. Because you know how often I am all tempted with this. With pride, it can rise up so quickly. Thank you for warning us, for admonishing us tonight. In your precious name, amen.